Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Brought to you each Thursday at 7 p.m. by Power Rents. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080.
Hoo-wee.
The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. A big week. In part, because a lot of the things we've been talking about are now official. It is the beginning this week of the early signing period for basketball, for softball, for wrestling, for a number of sports, baseball as well. So I think it's only fair to start the show with a rundown of what Oregon State and Oregon have landed, signed, sealed, and delivered this week. Later in the show, we'll have Alex Linenkoll, a former Oregon State offensive lineman. He now works for Line Pro, developing offensive line, defensive line talent in the state of Oregon. We'll have him on the show to talk about different prospects in the state of Oregon who deserve more of a look. He also works out with and trains Henry Buckles, the Oregon State offensive line commit, a center. We'll ask him about Henry, what he sees in Henry's future. Alex Linenkoll played center at Oregon State. Who better to ask about Henry Buckles, the Oregon State center commit, then Alex Linenkoll, who's his trainer and has played the position at his future program. We will also have Greg Biggins on the show because it is speculated that the NCAA plans to extend the dead period, no in-person contact between coaches and players, from January 1st all the way until April. Remember, this began in March. They're talking about extending it until April of next year. That's over a full year. With prospects not being able to visit on campus. What are the ramifications of that for the class of 2021? What are the ramifications of that for the class of 2022? And not that we're going to ask him to read the tea leaves here or look into his crystal ball and ask when this will end, because the truth is nobody knows, but we can ask him what he thinks the possibilities are that kids can visit again someday. But again, first, signing week. The early signing period has begun. We'll start with Oregon State because they might have the headlining news, to be honest with you. The Oregon State women's basketball program might end up and should end up with a top 10 recruiting class nationally, and they only got two prospects. But they're two really, really good prospects. Guard Greta Camp Schroeder is the number 32 prospect in the nation. Wing Talia von Olhoffen is the number 25 prospect in the nation. Man, I sure wish Scott Ruick would recruit kids with easier names to spell. I would really appreciate a Samantha Smith, an Ashley Jones, something like that. No, Greta Camp Schroeder and Talia von Olhoffen.
Camp Schroeder's an awesome last name, by the way.
There's nothing wrong with the names. It's just difficult to spell them.
Camp Schroeder sounds like a truck driver who makes like a little cheese on the side with high stakes poker.
And her first name's Greta.
Yeah.
And then you've
Greta,
got
what? What's that one?
Camp Schroeder.
Camp Schroeder. Oh yeah, dude. Camp Schroeder is totally bluffing
and
on that hand.
Talia von Olhoffen. Are you kidding me? Talk about an all-name team. Oregon State, that class will end up right around the 7th, 8th, or 9th best class in America with only two prospects. That's really, really impressive. That is great work. Both of those young ladies project to be five-star recruits when ESPN updates its rankings. If you forgot, every year after the late signing period, ESPN changes their recruiting rankings for women's basketball, and the entire top 55 prospects in America all become five-star talents. Right now, the cut line's right around 18, 19, 20. It will drop to 55. Both of those young ladies project as five-star prospects when they update the rankings. The Oregon State men's basketball program signed Deshaun Davis. They finally got themselves a point guard. It has been 4 or 5 years of the Wayne Tinkle tenure. He's never really landed a point guard who stuck. Derek Bruce had potential. He transferred and did well elsewhere, but he has not been able to produce or develop a point guard, so he goes and gets one from the JC ranks. He gets Deshaun Davis. Deshaun Davis is the number 7 junior college player in America. He chose Oregon State over Cal State, Northridge, DePaul, East Carolina, Seton Hall, and St. John's. He led the Trinity Valley League with 21 points per game, shooting 50% from the floor, 6.1 assists, 3 steals per game. An interesting player. I wish he would have come 2-3 years ago when they had Trace Tinkle, the Thompson brothers, and Drew Eubanks right after Gary Payton left, but that's not how recruiting works. Deshaun Davis has a chance to be a really good one transitioning to the Oregon Ducks. And right now, they don't get to be the headliner because the men's basketball program hasn't officially announced their class. Don't panic, Oregon fan. Jonathan Lawson has already sent in his national letter of intent. That has been reported by multiple outlets. And Oregon fully expects, it sounds like, at least the prospects seem to be indicating early, that they will sign later this week. Remember, this is a multi-day period. You do not have to sign on the first day of the early signing period. You can sign at any point. Oregon expects to sign 5-star center Nate Biddle out of Oregon. He transferred to Prolific Prep in California, the highest-rated in-state commitment in program history. Nate Biddle is flat-out special. Frank Kepnang is the number 4 center in America. He is committed to Oregon. He is expected to sign his national letter of intent. And then, of course, I already mentioned Jonathan Lawson, the number 47 player in America. He has already signed his national letter of intent out of Tennessee. If, in fact, and again, everyone expects these three players to sign, there is no reason for concern. These kids aren't looking elsewhere. This is purely a formality of when Oregon elects to announce this class. But ESPN just broke their updated rankings tonight, and Oregon has the number 2 class in America. If you remember, we had on an ESPN analyst, Adam Finkelstein, to break down ESPN's rankings at the time. Just a couple weeks ago, Oregon was number 1. Michigan has since landed a 5-star commit. But we are now through the first couple days of the early signing period, and Oregon still has the number 2 class in America. It's incredibly impressive work by the Oregon Ducks. That will be the headlining news of the early signing period when it is official. Again, just not yet official. In women's basketball, the Oregon Ducks signed the number 24 player in America, Taylor Bigby. Taylor Bigby, another story where it's just like, it's exciting for Oregon, a future 5-star prospect when ESPN updates their rankings. But when you get down to it, not a ton of excitement. And why? She's been committed since October of last year. She went on her visit, got a chance to meet Sabrina Ionescu, and she was signed, sealed, delivered. It was done. It was only a matter of time before she officially put pen to paper. She has done that. She's the Nevada Gatorade Player of the Year. She was unanimously the Player of the Year in the state of Nevada, a pretty good state for girls basketball, to be completely candid. But her statistics don't necessarily scream at you. 5-star talent, 10.4 points per game, 4.9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals a game. That's solid. It's not spectacular. And then you have to do a little bit of digging as to why that might be the case. She plays for a program that's won 6 straight state titles. In many, many, many of their conference games, league games, they win by massive numbers, and she sits. They also are so incredibly deep, and they share minutes so much that she doesn't necessarily become the focal point of that team. They're all incredibly talented. They've won 6 straight state titles, and they blow everybody out. So her minutes are limited. On a per-minute basis, incredible talent. And we have to go here because it's pretty impressive, to be honest. The Oregon Ducks softball program. And you're going, Nimick, really? But this is actually impressive stuff. Oregon softball landed 4 of the top 30 prospects in America. They landed the number 6 player overall, Stevie Hansen, a pitcher. If you pay any attention to softball, and I don't pay a ton of attention to softball. I know Will is a huge softball nerd on the Pac-12 Network.
Oh, yeah.
That's all he watches.
They actually call me for interviews. They do phoners with me about it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. Now, who were you talking about?
Well, you know her because you follow her.
Of course
so
I want to hear you say it.
Stevie Hansen from,
that's right,
from,
Stevie Hansen.
From Norco.
Norco.
She's
yeah.
the number 3 pitcher in America. That's huge because pitchers can pitch every game in softball. And I don't know if everybody knows that. At least if you don't follow softball, you might not know that. Baseball, you have to pitch, you know, they have a weekend series. So those guys pitch once a week. In softball, you can pitch every game. So if you land the number 3 pitcher in America, you need an ace pitcher to be great. And then she could pitch every game. It's like having the ace from a baseball staff every single night. So Stevie Hansen's a massive, massive recruit. Behind her is Allison Benning. She's the number 13 prospect in America, also a pitcher, also one of the top 10 pitchers in America. So Oregon lands 2 of the top 10 pitchers in America. They also get the number 15 player in the country and number 28 player in the country, both infielders. Those are Paige Sinicki and Kendre Luchar. I got to be honest, those names mean nothing to me, but what's exciting about that is you land 4 of the top 30 players in America and 2 of the top 10 pitchers, including the number 3 pitcher, and you've got to feel really, really good about the future of Oregon softball, especially considering the last coach and his players seem to try to everything in their power to try to tank the program on their way out. So pretty impressive that they bounced back. Again, to give you the rundown, the Oregon State women's basketball program signed a top 10 class with 2 5-star prospects, Greta Camp Schroeder and Talia von Olhoffen. The Oregon State men's basketball program signed the number 7 junior college player in the nation, a point guard, shooting guard. The Oregon Ducks are expected to sign the number 2 class in the nation. They have not officially announced their class yet, but there is no reason to think that will not come together. In fact, there's every reason to believe that they're going to announce it later this week. That class, the number 2 class in America, will have 5-star center Nathan Biddle, the number 2 center in America, or the number 1 center in America, depending on which site you look at. Four-star center and the number 4 center in America, Frank Kepnang out of Pennsylvania. They make up the best front court duo in America, according to ESPN. The Ducks also adding Jonathan Lawson, Chandler Lawson's little brother, the number 47 prospect in America. That is quite a rundown of what's gone on this week. And by the way, it's been pretty light on the recruiting trail. There's no visits. There's no games. There's no camps. There's no showcases for the most part, at least not in the traditional sense. And then this week I get hit with a whole lot of signings. Will, is your head spinning? Do you feel like I need to go over anything again?
If you could you just go over all of those names again in the appropriate order and literally just repeat the segment one more time? I will say that is a lot of recruits.
It's a lot of recruits. What people need to take from this is the Oregon State women's basketball program is about to be very, very good still, which we already knew. And in fact, I think people kind of underrate the Oregon State women's basketball program. I think there's probably a number of people out there who think this is new to 5-star talents. That's not the case. In fact, it's become a tradition for this program to land 5-star talents. They landed one last year, the year before that. I think this is the 6th or 7th year in a row they will have landed at least 1 5-star prospect. The other major thing to take away from this is the Oregon Ducks are about to sign the number 2 class in the nation, and that is absolutely, absolutely massive. That is your Oregon Ducks and Oregon State rundown. We're going to get to more stuff that involves the Oregon Ducks and Oregon State Beavers, including Henry Buckles, the Oregon State center. But first, we had Charlie Picard on the show last week from Jesuit High School, an offensive lineman, and he talked about working out at Line Pro and some of the guys through there. So this last week, this last few days, I've spent quite a bit of time trying to track down coaches to talk to them about who stands out. Who are some of the underrated kids in the state of Oregon? And what I keep hearing is, basically, for the most part, when it comes to Oregon high school football, the hidden gems all come along the offensive and defensive line this year. Some years it's skill position guys. Some years it's offensive and defensive linemen. When you want to talk about the guys who could pop late, and if you want to talk offensive and defensive linemen in general, the guy to talk to is Line Pro coach Alex Linnickel. He's worked with Alex Forsythe, who's at Oregon. He worked with Jackson Kirkland, who's up at Washington. He's worked with Cody Shear. He's worked with basic Dawson Jaramillo, who's at Oregon. seemingly every Pac-12 offensive lineman that's come out of Oregon in the last 5 or 6 years has worked privately with Alex Linnickel. So I want to talk to him. Who are some of the late breakout stars in Oregon that could be generating interest, and how are these kids getting looks when they can't take visits? We asked Charlie Picard. He pointed us in the direction of Alex Linnickel, so he'll join us next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. Last week we had on Jesuit offensive lineman Charlie Picard. I think he's one of the sleepers in the state. But I think there are a lot, or at least several, offensive and defensive line sleepers in the state. And when you want to talk offensive and defensive linemen when it comes to Oregon high school talent, the man to talk to is line pro coach and former Oregon State Beavers standout Alex Linnickel. He joins the show now to chat about the offensive and defensive linemen in the state. Alex, thanks for joining the show, man.
Hey, Andrew, thank you for having me on. Happy to be here.
Well, first I want to start here because there's one guy that's committed to a Pac-12 school. You get a chance to work with him quite a bit. He's Henry Buckles, committed to Oregon State as a center prospect. Oregon State, I take it, because they offered him so early, must really love the kid. What is it that they're seeing in this young man, and what do you see him potentially being at the Pac-12 level? I know you're going to know how kind of a, maybe air quotes, undersized center might work out at Oregon State, given that you were that guy maybe 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, indeed. You know, Henry, I've been working with him since he was a sixth grader, 12 years old, been able to watch him grow throughout the years. I think the number one thing that got him his offer would be that his film is just so consistently punishing. He just has a great understanding for what it means to win blocks. And, you know, when you turn on his highlights, it's just pancake after pancake. You know, and the level of competition he's going against isn't 6A football in Oregon, so you have to take that into account. But he just has this tenaciousness that he gets after it play after play after play, and it's almost like, he obviously cares about the game, but he's out there trying to get pancakes for the film on almost every play. So he's winning blocks. And I think when coaches turn that on, I think that people kind of underappreciate how important that is. And if you're going to be undersized, you know, that's the way to get attention, is by playing the game really well. You know, so it's really easy to get caught up in size and recruiting. And of course, you can't be too small. And Henry, you know, he's slightly bigger than I was at the time. And I'll say that when it comes to understanding line play, understanding lifting and eating and what goes into it, he's miles ahead of where I was as a recruit coming into Oregon State. I had a ton of development to do. And, you know, what we're seeing here with these guys who become very proficient early on is that they develop a base understanding of the game, and then they have a really easy time making the transition to college. And so that's what I see with Henry. You know, I think that he'll be able to come in and compete, you know, on a technique level as his strength builds. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, you know, because there's always the chance. I mean, you never know. We've seen high recruits go to D1 schools and end up not making the field. So you never know. But I got my eyes on him. And I think that at least when he gets down there, he'll be a leader in terms of understanding and performing to the degree that the coaches want to see. I'm excited to see it. I think it's good.
We're talking to line pro coach Alex Linnickel. So he's the guy really in Oregon that had the film. And of course, then he gets the offer. You work with a number of guys who maybe are still developing or are potential late bloomers in this class. Guys like a Charlie Picard from Jesuit, guys like a Shane Schwake, you know, Emilio Castaneda. And for skill position guys, sometimes the answer is as easy as, and it's never easy, but can be as easy as go to a showcase event, dominate some one-on-ones at receiver or corner, run a really fast 40, run a great shuttle time, post a great vert, post that on social media, and you've got a chance to get some looks. It's more complicated. It's more nuanced for offensive and defensive linemen. What's your advice for those guys who don't necessarily get to just put up a 40, who don't necessarily just get to put up one-on-one film in no pads and call it good for the day? What advice do you give those guys to say, here's how you up your stock when there's no football?
Yeah, indeed. You know, I do think that the eye test really helps for the lineman. I mean, when a coach sees you looking large and your shoulders have grown, your chest has grown, you put that weight room time in, and they see that you're developing in that way, it really helps their confidence, because at the end of the day, that's what we're after, is coaches having confidence in you being somebody that can be a player for them developing. If you don't have the film and you don't have the ability to get film because we're not playing football, I'm seeing a lot of guys have success, you know, getting little clips together and getting those out to coaches. And then what they're getting is they're getting feedback, and the coaches are saying, okay, we want to see you do this and this. So then they come to me or whoever they might be working with or their coach or whoever, and they'll get clips of doing that and then send it back to the coaches. So I'm seeing a lot of back and forth, a lot of, you know, the coaches also are in a drought, not having film. So they're needing to find a way as well. And I think this, you know, cell phone shot videos being sent by request, not by spam, but to coaches, posting things like that on Twitter, I think that's just a phenomenal way to show what you've been doing. But mind you, you can't just, you know, film yourself blocking and expect them to love it. The guys that have been putting in the work, which is a lot of these guys, and to tell you, it's almost a blessing in disguise for some of these guys, because almost everybody needed maybe a 6 more months of grinding and lifting and working on their technique to have the senior film needed to go to that level. You know, I'd say if we had the season, that at least 6 of these guys on the list we're always talking about here would be more limited to a lower level. And we're seeing a chance that a couple of them could pop up a level because of this opportunity to develop.
It's funny because there are years, and it seems somewhat cyclical, or at least maybe just completely random. There are years where guys are like a 2018 class or a 2017 class, where it's just so many kids are so ready. You know, we just had a group of guys come through that were Justin Herbert, Brady Breeze, Elijah Molden, Marlon Tuipulotu, Talanoa Hufanga, Chase Cota, just remarkable. Braden Lindsay, just remarkable names, just incredible talents. And then some years we have a little bit of a down year where guys are late bloomers. And this looked like a class of late bloomers. And I wonder if in this 6 months we haven't seen a handful of guys take that next step. I know you work with guys one-on-one. You work with guys, you know, two-on-one. Can you give us a couple of names of some kids that have really put in a lot of work that you know of that you feel like are different kids now than they were 6 months ago, and they've really grown or gained during this time, and maybe are a different level prospect than they were coming into quarantine?
100%, and it's a lot of them. But give me the list, man.
I mean, this is great for those kids. So let's do it, even if it's quick on each kid.
Yeah, and people should understand just real quick that these are kids that I work with. I don't work with everybody, so I'm not in the game of evaluating everybody across the state. So. There's biases for me, and then also I just don't know every kid. I don't know if, you know, there's probably kids out there that we don't know about who have a chance, and for be honest, I'd love to see him. I'd love to evaluate him. But Charlie Picard, he's reformed his body. He wasn't sure if he's going to be an O-line guy or D-line guy last year. So since winter clinics that we had, he's transformed himself majorly, you know, and he's doing great for himself in terms of recruiting. Liam Brown from Sunset, he's committed to Montana. I mean, the man juices are kicking in, and his shoulders are gigantic. He's carrying 295, like he looks like he could carry 320, and he's just been in his garage lifting weights since the quarantine started. I mean, it's been ridiculous, and I've been lucky to been able to work with him on a weekly basis as well. Bryson Kievit, I always say Clevitt, from down there, Sprague. In Salem, he's a guy who's gone from like 260 to like 285 of good weight, good muscle, lifting really hard down there with Jake Forshee. And he's a D-line prospect, but now coaches are telling him they might like him on O-line. So he's kind of in the middle, but he's the kind of guy I could see continuing to develop himself. He's not getting much attention, but if he continues to develop himself, I mean, the guy's a player. He's a big guy. He's over 6'3", 285, and not a ton of attention, but I think he could be a streaker. Zach Holmes is like a freaking bodybuilder. I don't know how he's 285. He looks like he'd be like 250.
I love Zach Holmes.
And I worked with you gotta love a guy like that. He's just got so much energy and attention and eagerness to improve. And working with them, you know, all these guys are just a joy to work with. I worked with him the other day though, and I started to think with his athleticism, I really think he could be an interesting center recruit. Kind of like Ryan Walk a little bit, where he's not the finished product, but you can see that he's got an over, I think he had like a 34-inch vertical. I mean, all of his testing numbers are an arm and a leg above anybody else for the fact that he's basically a large linebacker at this point. But if he continues to develop himself, he could be an interesting center in the future. You know, we talked about Slade Shufelt out of there in Hillsboro, and he's a guy that I can't believe he doesn't have offers. I think he's going to blow up soon. I'm sure we'll talk more about him. Ramsey Herring is a super strong kid. I mean, he's gotten under the squat bar like crazy. He might have the highest squat of all the linemen in the state. He's just packed with muscle, you know, and you don't hear much about him yet. I think that he's a D tackle, like a nose guard type guy. I've seen Kanan Rossi from Sunset lifting like crazy. His body is changing fast. I mean, talk about like a 180, you know, he's in there with grind time. Ryan Dirksen is making strides. He's getting looks to potentially be PWO in state, potentially a scholarship guy to a smaller school. He's like 6'7". You know, he's just got great frame and great length. And I worked with him yesterday. He's really starting to click with understanding the game more. And I think if you watch his film, he just never had that. So he's like becoming a completely new guy. Continuing to look through here, Brody Reese. You know, he's a guy as well that is a, you know, state championship nationally ranked wrestler, offered to Air Force with wrestling. I think he could be a good O-lineman or D-lineman, and just, again, starting to figure out the technique, starting to negotiate his body in a way where he can have more control and balance. And I think that was one of the big things coaches wanted to see with him. And then, of course, Emilio Castaneda, who 1 year ago, he wouldn't have walked in a room and had you say, hey, there's a line recruit. Right now, working out with his teammate Henry Buckles, he might have made up the most ground of anybody I've seen in terms of making himself pass the eye test and then also understand the game and understand the technique. I think what people don't get about line technique, Andrew, is that it's so much more than size. And obviously, everybody's always saying that. But I the more and more I go on, I compare it to like fighting and wrestling. The nuance of leverage, the nuance of moving people is so much more than just strength and size. And some people are more natural to get it and some people are less. So I think that's what makes the biggest difference between what you would expect a kid to do in college and what a kid might go and do. A great example is myself showing up at Oregon State. They didn't know what position I was going to play. But as I figured out the chess game of football, I started winning blocks. And that is the key to being a good lineman. So I think people need to focus a little bit more on the technicalities rather than the size and strength a little bit in recruiting.
Makes sense, man. Well, I really appreciate it. I wanted to get some kids' names out there because we had Charlie on the show, and I wanted to make sure to mention because I think some of those names are going to pop late and get some offers, and I wanted to be one of the first people to make sure we get their names out there. So thank you very much for joining the show. Where can we find your work? And if you're listening and you're a young offensive lineman or you're the parent of an offensive lineman or defensive lineman, how do they get in contact with you?
Yeah, they can find out everything at lineprotraining.com, at lineprofb on Instagram, lineprofootball football on Facebook and YouTube. I've got information out there. And then also, I just train kids privately right now every day. We'll have group clinics as soon as kind of COVID dies down, maybe January, February. We'll try to get some group stuff. But we train linemen of all ages. I've got coaches working with me. And we just want to see the kids out there get bigger, better, and have more confidence.
And you are at Coach Linney on Twitter, Coach Linney, LINNY.
That's right.
Right. Yep. Perfect. Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I just think, you know, I love Charlie. He's great. But Shane Schwake is a good one. There are a number of great offensive linemen in this state. Emilio Castaneda has done, you know, a ton of work. And so often we talk about the wide receivers, the running backs. We talk about even a great corner who has a multi-interception year. And some of these kids are going to end up being multi-scholarship kids, and they're just not yet. And part of that is no one got a chance to see them play this fall yet, but they're putting together film. And I had a chance to write about Slade Shufelt out of Hillsboro. I wrote a story about him on OregonLive.com/recruiting here this past week. And he's actually posting videos of him bench pressing, weightlifting, and then he'll be on his knees holding a 45-pound weight or two 45-pound weights against his chest and then exploding and jumping up from his knees to balancing on one foot to balancing on the other foot, all of those things to try to generate interest in his athleticism. And I just think it's really impressive and really creative, because as much as these wide receivers and corners can go out and run a 40, and people can say whatever they want, but the reality is, if you're 6'2", 180, and you go out and you measure 6'2", 180, and you run a laser 4'5", 140, college coaches are going to be interested. It's harder for offensive and defensive linemen. So it's interesting to talk to a guy like Lenny about how those guys market themselves and, again, shine a spotlight on some of those kids who are really working, really grinding behind the scenes that don't get a ton of attention.
And I'll tell you right now, Alex Lenincall is probably one of the greatest couponers you will ever meet.
Oh, why didn't you tell me that before the interview? Are you kidding me? You went to high school, or you went to college with him, right?
I played with Alex.
Yeah.
And he will find a deal. I swear to you, like, he could find a deal on a steak if you were out shopping in Dubai. Like, he could get you a steak for under $10. The guy's a deal badger.
I wish you would have told me this before the interview started. We wouldn't have had time for it.
I just thought of it.
That's incredible.
I did, because actually there, just remind me to tell you this story at the end of the show.
Okay.
It's great.
That'll be our last
it
segment.
It totally encompasses what Alex Lenincall's about.
I want to get to a little bit of Oregon Ducks recruiting, a little bit of Oregon State Beavers recruiting, but more than that, it sounds like the recruiting dead period is about to be extended till April. It started in April of next year. It started in March. So it will be over a year that kids cannot go on campus and coaches cannot see kids in person during the recruiting process. What are the ramifications of that? What does that mean for the end of class of 2021 and the beginning of class of 2022? There's only really a couple guys in the nation who are qualified to talk about that. One of them is Greg Biggins, the 24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. He joins the show next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. It's sounding more and more like the NCAA is going to extend the recruiting dead period. A dead period limits in-person contact or restricts completely in-person contact between coaches and prospective student athletes until April. That would extend it more than a year because it began in March, all the way until next April. What are the ramifications of that in the class of 2021? What are the ramifications of that for the class of 2022? Joining us now to talk about it is national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins at 24/7 Sports. Greg, thanks for joining the show.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. Always good to talk to you.
I guess starting just with a basic, how is this going to impact 2021? I imagine there was some hope that kids who didn't sign early could take visits in January and early February and then sign during the late signing period, getting to take those visits. With this in place, doesn't look like that's going to happen. And again, this isn't official, I don't believe, until November 18th.
Yeah, no, I think that was the hope. And honestly, I was still kind of holding out hope, although I haven't heard really anybody confirm that they might actually move back the February signing period, which I thought made a lot of sense considering California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada don't start playing football until January for California, then March for those other three states. So move that February signing period back, right? Make it, you know, April or something. Give those guys a chance to have some senior tape and get recruited. But obviously that's not going to happen from what I know. And kind of just going off of your point, right now, no official visits. Yeah, I mean, it's a killer for the 2021 class. And not just for those guys that wanted to maybe see some schools. It's, I mean, just for the fun of it, right? I mean, I saw a lot of guys that were committed already just in shock and disappointed because they wanted to be able to have that experience of going on a trip and getting wined and dined and going out with the guys and doing all the things that, you know, you can probably imagine what these guys do on a college official visit. So I think it was disappointing. Not surprising. I think we all kind of expected they're going to keep moving it back. But still, I think disappointing for a lot of people.
I think potentially, you know, 2021 guys have sort of adjusted and, you know, the statistics are out there over the last couple of years. The early signing period for the FBS level has claimed, you know, roughly 70-80% of the signatures in December. So we're not talking about a huge number of guys, but the spring evaluation period is absolutely massive for college coaches setting up their board and for kids laying the groundwork. Those kids that have 15, 20, 40 offers, a lot of times they use the spring to go around and check out different schools and say, okay, I'm going to focus on these 8. I'm going to focus on these 10. With that not in place,
how is this going to impact 2022? I could see potentially the ramifications of an extended through April dead period being more detrimental even to those guys from the elite guys on down.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of ways to look at that. So obviously the first one is they can't take visits. So, you know, you probably can't whittle your list down. And so you're assuming there's going to be a lot of commitments coming later on in the process. So, although this year we saw, you know, gosh, so many players committed early. It was like a flurry of players committing early because there was a concern of no official trips. Lock my spot in. Hopefully I can visit later, but I just want to lock my spot in. Now it's talking 2021s. So 2022s, number one, you already have the risk of fewer spots at each school, right? The 2021 class, these schools can sign over. You know, every player was given in college an extra year of eligibility. So that senior class, they can repeat that senior year. They're still going to allow 2021s to go ahead and enroll. And so these, you know, coaches and schools who normally are allowed to have 85 people in their class can go over that. But it's still not decided. I was talking to a couple of coaches just today. What about the 22 class? Is it going to be a gradual going from, say, 110 to 100 to 90, then back to 85? Or is it going to just be 1 year? Okay, you're at 105. Guess what? 2022 class, you're back down to 85. And all of a sudden, if that is the case, which I hope it isn't, but now you're looking at a really small, you're looking at a lot of schools having these 10 or 11-man 2022 recruiting classes, right? So I think if you're a 2022 kid, you're kind of encouraged to commit early and lock that spot in, but you're also kind of up against it in the sense that you can't take a visit. You can take an unofficial visit, but on those unofficial dead period visits, there's no facility tours. You can't see the inside of the weight room, locker room. You can't meet face-to-face with the coaches. You can't meet face-to-face with a lot of the administrators. You can make it an academic type of a tour.
And who wants to do that, right, Greg?
And who wants to do that? Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're talking to 24/7 Sports national recruiting analyst Greg Biggins. Big news today in Pac-12 recruiting. In fact, it just broke recently. Ethan Calvert, the four-star linebacker, committed to Utah over USC maybe a month or two ago. That would have been a big shocker. As it stands, there were a lot of predictions that came in late that he might choose Utah. Where that's interesting to our audience is the race for the number one spot in the Pac-12 conference, because Calvert was potentially a mover in terms of USC's recruiting class. How much does this help Oregon potentially maintain the top spot in the Pac-12 conference when the recruiting rankings finally are officially finalized, whether that's February, March, April, May, whatever the NCAA decides?
It definitely helped. It's funny, I wasn't even looking at it that way. You're kind of looking at it from the Oregon lens. I wasn't even thinking. I just thought, shoot, this kills USC and UCLA, because both those schools need some linebackers badly, right? But
right. From
a recruiting ramification, I think it helps Oregon. You know, USC was going to have to probably, you know, almost go, you know, 4-for-4 in terms of the big targets. Calvert, I think they probably still lead for Sierra Wright. Corey Foreman is still out there. There's another a big-name player whose name is escaping me right now. There's four marquees, but I think Oregon is definitely in a really good spot. And like I said, USC, if they still land a Corey Foreman, a Sierra Wright, maybe they jump up there, but I think, not without doing the math, I think Oregon's probably in a good spot for that top class in the Pac-12, and obviously top 5 to 7 nationally.
Now, we can't have you on the show, I don't think, anymore, forever again, without asking you about your best car chase story, because you are obsessed, it seems, with car chases in the Los Angeles area, or in the state of California in general. Do you have a favorite car chase ever? Every time I see a car chase you're tweeting about it. You're all over it. So do you have a best one?
They're so much fun, Andrew. I mean, they are so much fun. I mean, there's a couple that stand out. This one, it might be kind of a morbid one, and it was so shocking.
It's 2020. Morbidity is fully allowed this year.
Right? Absolutely. It's almost encouraged. Well, there was one. The guy was, it was about an hour long. The guy is going all over the place. A cop car kind of sideswipes, and the guy gets out of his car, and I swear this is what I thought I saw. As he's getting out of his car, he got shot like 5 times, and then he just cut away, right, real quick. And so me and everybody that was tweeting about this kind of just were like, did we just see this guy get like shot like 5 times, get out of his car? And that was, it's hard to say that was my favorite, because it was, you know, again, kind of tragic.
Yeah.
But like, if you're talking about the most memorable and the most like just kind of awe-inspiring and the most just like, what did I just see? It'd probably be that one. There's another one that was kind of more of a funny one where a guy you know, about an hour and a half long, kind of went underground, and no one ever saw him again. So I guess the guy kind of got away by going a little underground garage. He was kind of out of the jurisdiction for the cops that were trailing him, and that was the last we saw of him. So those are probably the two that stand out the most for me right now.
That's pretty good, man. I like the list. We have to get you out always on a car chase. I can't ask you about the LA teams or any of that nonsense up here in Oregon. So we have to have car chase talk, I think, is the right way to go. Greg Biggins,
I'm in, baby.
24/7 Sports National Recruiting Analyst. Where can everybody find your work?
At Greg Biggins is the Twitter, and then 24/7 Sports is the name of the website. So keep it simple. Just at Greg Biggins, and we'll always tweet out most of the stuff that we're breaking or, you know, any exciting news out there.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Always.
We always got to come at it with a little bit of a local angle, so we had to ask him about that. That Ethan Calvert news is absolutely massive. I don't think perhaps people, you know, like Greg for right now anyway, is going to think about that from the emphasis of USC, UCLA, and Utah. But from an Oregon standpoint, USC, and he mentioned this, they had to go 4-for-4 with the top prospects remaining in the state of California to catch Oregon. Corey Foreman's one of them. He's number one recruit in the nation. Sierre Wright, we mentioned in last week's show, he's playing LeBron James Jr.'s, He's playing Bronny in Space Jam 2. And Sierre Wright's the number 8 corner in the nation. He's also an actor, which I think is fascinating. And they had to land Ethan Calvert. So the Ethan Calvert domino doesn't fall in their direction. And because of that, it looks like Oregon almost certainly will claim the number one spot in the Pac-12 conference standings. Kevin Wade alluded to that again from 24/7 last week. But this likely makes it as close to official as you can get a little more than a month before signing day. So interesting. You have a story about couponing. We have to get to it. I'm fascinated because have you seen that couponer show?
Extreme Couponers.
It is ridiculous.
It also evoked my wife's favorite phrase that I've ever said, which was, I really hope you never do that in front of me, embarrassing me in front of the whole town.
That was her line?
That was my line.
Oh, wow.
I said, don't you ever do this when we're out. You'll embarrass me in front of the whole town.
See, I don't think coupons are that bad of a thing. Maybe in Lake Oswego, they carry some negative connotation.
No, dude, it's the extreme couponers. It's the people who are like...
Well, let's talk about it after the break. We'll talk about extreme couponing next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10 of the Fan. Earlier in the show, line pro coach and former Oregon State Beaver center Alex Linnenkohl discussed sleeper prospects in the state of Oregon along the offensive and defensive line. After his interview, Will Darkins mentioned that they were teammates and that Alex Linnenkohl is quite the extreme couponer, which has somehow carried throughout the rest of the show. And you have an interesting extreme couponer story, and we must give you the floor to tell it.
So real quick, there was this one time where Linnenkohl, he was always really into this one pizza place in Corvallis. And I think it was Pizza Pipeline.
Okay.
And it had a lunch special, and the lunch special could only be accessed via coupon. And so he told me, hey, we're all going to go eat this lunch special. Come on out, you know, at this time and meet me there. And I go, okay, sounds good. So I go in, park, walk inside the restaurant, and I don't see him. So I call him and I go, hey, where are you? I'm here. And he goes, oh, we're out in the parking lot. And I go, oh, okay. And so then I go out to the parking lot and we meet next to his car where there's a group of 5 dudes, and Linnenkohl has like 10 of these lunch coupons. And he's like, all right, guys, here's one for each. I just didn't want them to see me passing these out to you. Like, I obviously got these from other magazines. Like, I took more magazines than I should have. So we were basically doing it a back alley coupon deal.
Wow. That's great. Those shows like the A&E shows for extreme couponing and stuff, there's a part of me that's really impressed. And then there's a part of me that's just truly, truly disgusted by the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I just get the point.
It's cool to coupon.
I'm not what Alex Lenincold did. It's like the 600-pound life, the extreme couponing, and have detergents for life and stuff. I can't get behind it.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. Next week, hopefully, Oregon's class, the number 2 class in the nation for men's basketball, will be signed, sealed, and delivered, and we'll have a chance to talk about that on the air. That will be next week on Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick on 10 of the Fan. Thank you, as always, for listening. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nimmick, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.